Right now, it's time for our tornado of our own, and that tornado we have named Jim Lynch. He joins us with Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and quite possibly tornadoes. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Isn't that the name of a dishwashing?
I don't know. No, you're thinking of the White Tornado. That's what you're thinking of, Mr. Clean. I think it was Mr. Clean, wasn't it?
Yes.
The White Tornado?
Was it Mr. Clean?
He was
a great guy. He used to cheer me up every time I'd see that bottle and, you know, with that big smile.
Yeah, and now you got The Rock. He looks just like The Rock.
Yes, indeed.
It was Ajax, the White Tornado.
They came out from under the same rock. What'd you say, Ajax?
Marshall's right. It was Ajax, the White Tornado from 1970.
Yeah. So anyway, Jim, how do you like that? The Rock bought the XFL for $12 million.
Was it 12 or 15? Whatever.
$12 or $15 million, but still, it's
pretty inexpensive, right?
It's very inexpensive to buy a whole league.
I would buy a league for that, a league of my own.
Oh well.
I think it's time for us to make a comeback. What do you think, Marshall?
Get in
the ring.
I think it's definitely time for us to make a comeback.
I mean, they're throwing money. You know, let's go.
That's right.
Anyhow, hi everybody. I hope you're doing very, very well. And I'm thinking, is there anything else that can happen? And well, of course, there's always something new.
You know, in 2020, Jim, I said this the other day when we had a tornado come through our area. Okay, what else is when are the locusts coming?
They will. That's what I was thinking of. But you know what was really what's amazing is how you know there were more people down helping within an instant of that. You know, just in terms of community.
Oh, no, it's a thing that brings communities together, but still.
We could do without it.
We could do without all this stuff going on. But anyways, Jim.
Anyway, what's going on? Not too much, actually. Mr. Trump might have to give up his tax returns. And as you've probably read, the district attorney here in Cyrus Vance has basically revealed that the charges are not just for hush money, but for bank fraud, insurance fraud. I think short of killing, there's an indictment in there for almost anything. But hopefully we'll get over this, we'll get the documents, we'll get on with it, and we'll at least get it out of the way. There's so much uncertainty that... it's incredible. Let's just deal very quickly with this, because I really don't want to belabor it. We're all saturated with news on the virus. But I think it's extremely important for we as a society to recognize that we have been given false, misleading information about, and I'm certain many of you are well aware of this, but just in case you're not, we have been given misleading information on the virus, its progress, our success in dealing with it, what we're truly doing to deal with it. The administration, beginning with the president and his analysts, have been putting out this false sense of optimism, hope, actually, in some cases, lies about what we're doing, the equipment we have, and so forth. So I hope, as that realization comes forward for you, that I'm certain you're doing this, but I just have to say it, that you kick yourself in the heel and remember to do all the necessary things to protect yourself, because there's no reason to be confident at this juncture that this thing is ending anytime soon. And the vaccine is something that is pie in the sky. The average life of creating a new vaccine when you don't know what the virus is, I'm going to call it 2.5 years. Some have said, not this one, but just generally speaking, creating a vaccine. There have been estimates of 5 to 10 years over the years of producing these things. So if you bring it down to 2.5 years, that's probably it on a conservative basis, and you have to be conservative. The whole problem here is, like, with reopening schools, the danger is you're reopening, it doesn't work, as it hasn't worked in two little schools in Indiana and one in Georgia. It doesn't work, and then people's confidence is hurt further, and making progress is much more difficult to make. If we get this vaccine come the end of the year, I'll tell you truthfully, I don't know that I'd ever take it. I don't know I'd recommend it to anybody. You're dealing with your human life, injecting something that has been created at a record time. And we know something that's driving it is the profit motive. But beyond that, it's all this pressure from the politicians. So just please keep your eyes and ears open. Let's stay awake. Let's stay aware. And let's not get conned by this very false information that we're being given.
You know, when we
think this is... I'm sorry.
No, when we talk about the coronavirus, Jim, people talk about the health aspects of it, and that's all well and good because we're all concerned about that, especially my age, your age, and the older folks. I mean, we have to be extra vigilant and careful. But here's the thing that people don't understand about the coronavirus, and that is. And it's going to come full force here locally in our regional school districts in Weebatuck and in Housatonic. In all the precautions, because we don't know enough about the virus to be predictable. Hell, we don't even know enough about the flu to be predictable. So when schools open up because kids want to go back to school, parents want their children to go back to schools, parents also want their kids to be healthy and not bring anything home. So our school system is going to go with a hybrid system in Region 1. And that means 2 days a week, certain numbers of students will go to school. Wednesday, the middle day, school will be closed. And then the last 2 days of the week, a different set of kids will go to school. The kids that don't go to school on those 2 days will have home distance learning. Here's what the problem is. The amount of money that has to be spent by the local school districts to make this possible is going to be staggering. You're going to need to pay people to deep clean the schools once a week. You're going to need monitors on buses to make sure the students wear masks. I mean, it's you just don't understand what the cost is going to be. And it's obvious that the federal government, as of right now, is not going to kick in to help the states to meet this. They're leaving it up to the states to set up all these things. Now, there's same systems that are going into effect in New York State, but the crushing effect of this will come when the next tax burden comes up for the local towns and for the states, because if you've got a school budget right now that's going at about $10 million, guess what? You can add an easy $2 or $3 million to it
for this.
And so there's the financial impact that hits upon this beyond it. And I'm surprised that more of these so-called financial stations aren't focusing in on the fact that there's three different tracks here with the virus. There's the political track, which has totally ruined it for everything. But then there's the immediate financial impact of the shutdown. And then there's the financial impact of what's going to happen to taxes when schools reopen. These are just huge things that are weighing on the economy. And at the same time, Jim, as you have pointed out, you've got rental incomes, all the rental exemptions that are going to come due. People aren't being let free of their rent or their payments. They're being put off. All this is going to hit in the dead of winter. It doesn't spell for a very good financial picture. I'm not a financial genius, but I would say to you, Jim, this has all the makings of a pretty big financial disaster.
When it comes to this situation, nobody needs to be a financial wizard to figure it out. 1 + 1, please, just equals 2. That's what's going on here. But what you've been exposing as you've conversed is the fact the most significant approach to this problem is a nationalization of the situation. You outlined your system up there in terms of education. Well, I have not heard one blessed word from anybody in Washington in terms of a practical reopening of the schools. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible. But not one utterance from the federal government regarding how to do it. I mean, when people complain at year end when they pay taxes and say, oh, God, what does the government do? This is it, folks. The government is doing nothing. This is what the government is supposed to do. That's why it's called a national government. So this is very, very, this has grown more discouraging by the day in terms of the lack of the centralization of dealing with the problem. What you've mentioned, Marshall, in terms of how your school district is doing it, it's very sound, the approach. It's something people can hang their heads on and say, well, okay, this and that, this and that. It's some practical thing to debate. But to have to hear that there's a virus out there, we really don't know how to handle it, but we want you to go back to school, is the most ridiculous nonsense. And the key here to this problem, the politics, this guy DeSantis in Florida, the one in Texas, in Arizona, following Trump, drinking the Kool-Aid, and in the process bringing down X amount of their citizens to sickness or death. The best thing that we could have happen, the most bullish thing, is that we impeach Trump immediately, get Biden in and whoever else. I have a feeling that they might give in to reality and say, hey, Fauci's our man. Fauci's going to do it. We're going to plan it. We're going to go national. That's the only way we're going to get out of this damn thing.
Well, you can,
if you look at, if you, one last point, if you look at Europe and their success, their quick success in dealing with it, they're back to school, their businesses are back. Why? How come they're so brilliant? They're not brilliant. They just did common sense things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Here's what I look. When President Obama bailed out the automakers, I was against that, foolishly enough. It turned out that that federal approach to bailing out the automakers and doing what they did was the smart thing to do, and it saved jobs and it saved an industry. And that's what the federal government is supposed to do. As many people that were against it, and like I was one of those that was against it back when it happened. But that's what you need, a federal approach to how you're going to fund the reopening of schools, because by reopening the schools and funding the reopening of schools, guess what? You're funding the reopening of businesses. It's all tied together.
And
so far, the Congress, the President, the Senate, it's this become a political football, and we've got a brand new assistant, a superintendent who's just taking over this year. She's been in the system for years. She's a smart gal, Lisa Carter. This is the first thing that she sees on her radar, and there is no state help. There's no federal help. They even though the state says, get your plans to us. Well,
the state citizen does press conference. You know, it's pretty interesting once you sort of peel it away and look behind the curtain and you're supposed to execute.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that, you know, as far as there is what happens, you know, there's the policy, quote, that's stated, here's what you're meant to do. And then there's the actual execution, which is far more intriguing, entertaining, and complicated than a simple statement is. And for all that the people, you know, for all that those politicians and professionals say, do such and such, again, okay, how? With what?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, Jim, and you know, as somebody who works with the stock market doesn't represent the average American, but what it does represent and what is the confidence in what goes on in America. For whether you like it or not, confidence is a great thing, and when you have confidence in the power of the U.S. economy, it's a great thing. But when you don't have confidence in it, it sets up really tragic things. And I just feel that we're on the precipice of being too late to act the correct way on this and have the federal government take over certain aspects of this and say, okay, whatever you have to do, we'll find a way to fund it. We'll find a way for everything to work out, whether or not it's choppy or not. And that's what we all have to sit here and look at, Jim.
And we have to really press our legislators for that, wouldn't you say?
Our national legislators, not yeah. our state ones.
No,
our state.
Not, no.
Yeah. So Jim, this whole pandemic thing has morphed into such a big story. It's bigger than the pandemic itself. All the side stories that go with it.
Let me just address quickly the tremendous expense that the school districts are going to have to bear, and local government, state, and local are going to have to bear. By giving you an example, when this thing happened in March and all of a sudden the government started throwing money at it, they started throwing money at their pals, their corporations, their friends. I'll just look at Boeing. I believe they got $25 billion. Now, $25 billion is a lot of money, even for Marshall.
Right.
The thing is, they didn't think it out. They rushed to throw the money out. That $25 billion, just separating that out for a second, keeping it simple, would have been better served in planning what we've just discussed. Well, how do we do it? How do we reopen? Let's start with this mere $25 billion, and how are we going to allocate it to support the bedrock of the economy, which are the Jim and Jones of the world who are working, teaching school, having small businesses. So we have gotten ourselves into a tremendous trap in terms of we've already wasted a lot of money in this, giving it to big corporations that can survive this. And also, they had been aided by the Federal Reserve, which is buying their bonds and sometimes buying the ETFs, which have a lot of their stocks. So the big guys have gotten a lot of money which has been wasted in terms of solving this problem. How do we write it? Frankly, the only way we're going to really write it quickly is by getting rid of the administration. And November seems a long, long, long away.
Not really.
We only have about 40 seconds left here, Jim.
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure. And as they did on the Titanic, we're going to play a song. I love Amazing Grace. How about you?
I like
Listen,
that.
Listen, we're going to get through this damn thing.
Okay.
With Marshall on steering the ship, we're going to be fine.
We're going to rearrange
some
deck chairs.
I love you all. Have a good week. Huh?
Take care, Jim.
Okay, bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.